Hello, this is Colin Slight from the Realization Group. Welcome to the Financial Markets Insights podcast. Here we bring together the best minds in the financial and capital markets industry to discuss all the latest trends and news. Our podcast host for today is Helen Disney. In this first episode, we'll be examining the rise of the tech fins, with our special guest and financial services innovation expert, Michael Cooper. Helen, Michael, over to you.
Welcome, Michael, to the first episode of Financial Markets Insights podcast. We're delighted to have you with us.
Thank you, Helen.
We're here today to talk about the rise of the tech fin. So it'd be great to just kick off with understanding from your point of view how you would define the tech fins as opposed to the fintechs.
Yeah, so I think techfin is something of an interesting semantic designation. I mean, really, we're talking about big tech and that set of technology-based and technology-oriented platform businesses who are moving into adjacencies and other services, including financial services. Hence the techfin designation. So the so-called FANGs and their Asian cousins. FinTech, I think of as being entrepreneurial or innovative initiatives where their principal orientation is financial services and markets. As you might expect, they're exploiting technology as a fundamental enabler for their proposition. And both of them are challenging the incumbent platform businesses in payments, banking, and financial services generally. I probably think of FinTech more in the context of that sort of Clayton Christensen innovator's dilemma model than I do big tech or tech fin. And that's because I tend to think of the big tech play being more about the application of scale, more about surveillance and information exploitation than one that is fundamentally oriented to developing, enhancing, and even disrupting, though they will, financial services. So I think they're very different, particularly in orientation.
Yeah, so they're sort of coming from different perspectives and obviously very different in size. But at the same time, we've got these large multinational technology companies coming in and offering, whether it's new forms of payments, cryptocurrencies or digital currencies or banking services and other aspects. And, they seem to take that kind of Silicon Valley approach, which is a very entrepreneurial move fast and break things or, build the business model and sort of ignore the regulator, or maybe it's wait for the regulators to catch up. Do you think that's in a way a rational strategy, given that we know regulators have always struggled to keep up with the pace of innovation and technological change?
So I think it is, or at least it has been. I'm not sure I'd necessarily describe it as entrepreneurial. It's probably more expedient. It's certainly autocratic and somewhat arrogant. And there are a few things at play here, I think. Tech fins themselves have contended that they move too fast for regulators. What they're doing is too leading edge, it's too complex, and consequentially, they are best placed to manage any of the issues and consequences that fall out of this. And there's some truth to this, both our regulators and legislators, they're a long way behind the curve. I think of the ISMA cloud consultation paper that was issued last June as a case in point. It captured the discussion of 10 or 15 years ago, codified it to some degree, but didn't offer anything particularly, insightful or valuable. And it didn't contribute to this discussion, for example. And of course, Google and Facebook, managed to take advantage of a policy swing away from privacy towards surveillance kind of in the aftermath of 9/11. But more recently, there are signs that, that some governments have moved away from that, to pick up concerns about, citizens' privacy. All the news from Australia overnight, but the EU particularly, and perhaps the US also. But even here, I think the messages are contradictory. I'm not entirely sure how you reconcile GDPR with PSD2 and open banking, for example. But ironically, I think the tech fins have kind of suddenly found themselves exposed, you know, as a consequence of the strategy and the regulators' kind of lack of an inconsistent progress. You know, as an example, I was listening to Ezra Klein's podcast on my kind of daily COVID time walk, and his podcast is supported, I think that's the right phrase, by Facebook, who use that message to promote their new privacy tools and the need for new regulation. Yeah. Well, you know, which is good, but from Facebook, and of course, you know, they probably are feeling a little exposed of late, and they may have also seen what is happening in China, you know, who can clearly see structural and other issues with the current model, and so they're wishing to avoid government intervention and mandates, although that's clearly not worked in Australia. So big tech and you know the tech fins are now reaching out to legislators, regulators, you know, and people generally, you know, to advocate for and initiate regulation. I mean, you know, I try not to be too cynical about this, but it's more than a little amusing. You know, after all, you know, when the poacher turns around to the gamekeeper and starts dropping hints, yeah, you know, you have some fairly fundamental issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also, you know, a way of maybe making the process quicker, in the sense that you announce something, and it's a big announcement and it gets the regulators' attention, and then suddenly you're called to give evidence, you know, in front of Congress, or you're called to do this, that and the other, or to have very senior influential meetings, which otherwise, if you tried to just get a general meeting, you would never have really got that discussion going. So it is, as you say, a kind of expediency measure, and also a way of just drawing the world's attention and keeping it on you, which, you know, is more of a maybe a PR strategy than a kind of public policy strategy.
Yeah, I don't think they want the attention on that necessarily. I think they are feeling exposed, and you know, and that offers them, if they can get the regulation they want, something to something with some surety they can hang on to.
Yeah, signals to the market obviously is important for all technology companies about what they can and can't do. So I guess clarity is the ultimate goal. And I'm wondering how, you know, the rise of these tech fins affects the structure of the kind of financial markets more broadly, because we've got all these fintechs who are, you know, maybe creating some great innovations and efficiencies and challenging the way banks or other financial services companies do things and offering new services. But are they not just going to get completely either squeezed by the tech fins because of their great sort of size and power, or acquired by them, or sort of eaten up? You know, what does it mean for the fintechs?
Yeah, it's so I think that the tech firms in financial services has had an impact already. You know, it's already changing structure, for example, you know, certainly in payments, but financial services more broadly in financial markets also. And I think you can make a number of points, actually. I think one, while it's absolutely not a zero-sum game, the impact of scale tech firms are to reduce opportunity. Payments is probably the best example at this time. So there's an element of opportunity exclusion and shrinkage, certainly from the perspective of, you know, fintechs and the incumbents. And kind of two, I think it's clear that the, you know, the tech fins own perhaps the best, certainly some of the best technology stacks, but by any number of measures. And there's an interesting challenge here, you know, either as a fintech or as an incumbent, how do you avail yourself of that technology? Which platform do you choose? You know, what does that relationship and partnership look like? And what does that mean? Three, I think you can go back to the regulatory point. I think that, you know, the financial services incursion by big tech may be the spur for legislators and hopefully regulators to act. And there's some sign of this, I think, in response to, you know, Facebook's Libra and Diem initiative. And four, if one of the two or three really key technology trends of this era is data, these folks are the preeminent data exploiters, and they will become the data leaders for financial services and markets. And you know that they will exploit that advantage more thoroughly and more consequentially than incumbents do now. One of the consequences will be a more substantive structural change, I think, and probably a quicker change as well. So I think the consequence for fintechs is similar to that of incumbents. You know, their opportunity gets squeezed, and they have a scale competitor. You know, for fintechs, you know, arguably they already had that scale competitor, so that isn't necessarily a new problem. I think it probably encourages fintechs to increase their alignment and engagement, you know, with incumbents, as opposed to a more competitive adversarial strategy. At the end of the day, you know, both fintechs and the banking incumbents' primary orientation is financial services. I guess one of the questions is, you know, how do legislators and regulators, you know, do they continue to tolerate a monopolistic and the anti-competitive behaviour that has characterised big tech to date? You know, there's clearly a lot of angst and questions in the context of antitrust, corporate malfeasance, etc. And this seems to be becoming a pretty global perspective. And you wonder if their role in finance, you know, is the straw, you know, that breaks concerns about competition, etc. But then again, you kind of reflect on the global nature of big tech and tech fins, and they've been pretty effective at kind of refracting, you know, legislative and regulatory light. So maybe not. Having said all of that, I'm pretty optimistic that fintechs will continue to generate new ideas. They'll develop and exploit technology in innovative and exciting ways. The question, of course, is, you know, do they end up being consolidated into bigger entities or excluded from markets? You know, is the barrier to entry just getting higher and higher? And I think that, you know, if I'm honest, that, you know, the jury's out on how that plays out. I think it's challenging, and probably does get more challenging. But it might depend a little bit on what, you know, your local regulators do to enable, you know, that fintech innovation versus that big tech takeover.
Yeah, and your point about data made me think about the consumer as well, because obviously there's a growing movement against, you know, delete Facebook, don't use Amazon, not just because of how much of our data they have, but also people concerned about payment of tax and other issues. So how do you think that kind of weariness with the extractive nature of the big tech platforms plays into this? Is that actually one of the drivers for the tech fins to push for new products, because it allows them to hang on to that customer base if there's, you know, Google Bank, or there's a Facebook digital currency, or an Amazon digital currency, which I think was being proposed this week? Is that what's really driving all of this?
Yeah. So I think you're right. The consumer does have a role here. I'm not sure their influence is always direct, and clearly there's a demographic perspective, you know, around, you know, our choice to use Facebook, you know, versus Instagram versus WhatsApp, and of course Facebook probably has the best view of that. So there is some influence here in what we choose to do, but I think the biggest influence remains representative. So it is governmental, and I think I made this point earlier, but I think a decade or so ago, consumer concerns around privacy, competitive concerns about monopolization, were secondary to other governmental ambitions. You know, e.g., with surveillance. I think that has changed, and to a large degree, or certainly to some degree, because of societal influences, which is both individuals, you know, and a recognition, I think, of the influence that big tech now has. So I do think the pendulum has swung at a legislative level back to acknowledge privacy rights. I do keep coming back to the management and manipulation of consumers, and I include enterprises in there as much as individuals. I kind of think we, as individuals, are increasingly aware of this, perhaps more aware than we are as corporations. Although, you know, we've always known, you know, our corporate behavior is, you know, it's past, you know, analyzed ad infinitum. From the point of view of big tech, fintech, you know, I think these initiatives are fundamentally founded in data, you know, data collection, extraction and exploitation. You know, clearly Facebook's, you know, digital currency play or plays, I'm not sure what it is, Libra Diem, you know, would expose enormous amounts or you know, really detailed, very personal data. Amazon already sees a lot of this. And as you say, an Amazon digital currency coming, you know, that would only expose more. You know, Alibaba built Alipay and Ant out of this. Google is the absolute master at data exploitation, but Apple's pretty good as well. And then at the end of the day, I don't think consumer awareness is ubiquitous. It's certainly a growing trend, and that combines with a kind of a greater recognition of the monopolistic behaviors and their consequences. And that's, you know, as I said, true for both individual and corporate consumers. So there is a decision needed, you know, about the balance and value of what's on offer. You know, and what's on offer is good and it is rich. But you're trading that off against the manner in which you can be modeled and manipulated, I think.
Well, I think this one's going to run, and we're coming to the end of the show, which is a shame because there's so many more things that we could talk about. But I'm sure we're going to see many more developments coming from the tech fins in the financial services space. And I hope we'll be able to have you back in future in another episode to talk about some more of the developments. So thank you very much, Michael, for being with us today. It's been a very interesting conversation, and I'm looking forward to keeping an eye on what happens.
Thanks, Helen. Yeah, it's a hugely interesting conversation. And as you say, we're kind of at the start of a lot that's happening. So it is going to develop, it is going to change. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens.
Thanks to all our listeners for joining us. You've been listening to the monthly Financial Markets Insights podcast. In our next show, John Apache will be examining the GameStop phenomenon and what impact it may have on financial markets regulation and infrastructure. Joining Jana will be financial services and technology lawyer and fintech podcast host, Lee Schneider. Subscribe to stay informed of all our future shows, and please do leave us a review, as your feedback helps us to improve the show and increase our audience. See you next time.